It's been so long since we hijacked Sci-Fi Diner.
This is going to be an interesting evening.
Our last best hope for sci-fi.
Raul Wybera?
Oh, he's been around a lot.
It's in the script.
But this is not the NYPD Blue podcast.
Jim Arrowwood.
Well, there it is.
No boom today.
There's always boom tomorrow.
I might be able to help with that.
Hello there, Babylon 5 fans.
It's Rainy Night Rangers.
We know what people think.
This is Maggie Egan, your ISN news anchor.
I'm at a loss for words. J.P. Harvey.
You get this warm, fuzzy moment, you know?
Well, he's not playing Zapdos this time either. He's playing Zapdos.
I'm going to withhold comment.
The year is 2019. The place... The Babylon Project Podcast.
Hello there, Babylon 5 fans. Welcome to our next exciting episode of the Babylon Project podcast. This is Raul Wybera, and I'm joined by my good friends Jim Arrowwood and J.P. Harvey. And how are you two folks today?
Are you sure about that? You didn't sound too sure.
Well, that's because I've got a very important announcement to make.
Uh-oh.
Yes. It is going to be raining pain on our producer.
It's raining pain. Hallelujah. It's raining, Night Rangers.
Amen.
It's raining pain. Hallelujah.
And who might that producer be?
Oh, Troy Rutter.
The immortal Troy Rutter.
Troy, you're going to answer to Jim for that. You broke the no Raul singing rule.
Yeah. Is that why my headphones quit working?
Wait, how is Troy breaking the rules because you sang? That's what I want to know.
Well, that wasn't me singing. That was him editing me singing in. So.
Oh.
Well, how are you two tonight?
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm good too.
Oh, gosh. Well, rather than bad adaptations of questionable songs to begin with. So what episode are we talking about tonight, sir?
Yeah, we just got to keep moving forward here. I'll tell you what, it's been a long 5 years, hasn't it? All right. We're talking about Wheel of Fire, the 19th episode of season 5. And we're coming right down to the end of this thing here.
And I promise no Johnny Cash.
I can do a fair imitation.
Just be warned, it might end up in the opening credits.
So it's not Ring of Fire, and it's not Wheel of Fortune.
Right. Yes, Vanna White is not coming around.
Oh, and I guess neither is King Lear. Okay, let's, like you said, keep moving forward.
Yeah, I'll punch up the summary.
Go for it.
Archive access. Initiated.
On Earth, attacks against the Psi-Corps are increasing, and all of the evidence points to Leda being at the bottom of the telepath terrorist movement. When Zack and Lockley go to take her into custody, Leda uses her Vorlon-enhanced abilities to resist them. Sheridan, who himself has been touched by the Vorlons and is also immune to Leda's influence, intervenes and Leda is taken into custody. Later, Garibaldi goes to Leda and offers her a deal. If she will remove the telepathic block imposed by Bester, which he believes is causing his alcoholic relapse, he will go to bat for her with EarthGov. Leda's counterproposal is that if Garibaldi will launder the funds for the terrorist activities for 2 years, she will take the mind block away. Reluctantly, Garibaldi agrees. Garibaldi's drinking has become a huge problem, and he seems unable to function in his duties as head of security. Sheridan has no choice but to suspend him until he gets the situation under control. Captain Lockley visits Garibaldi in his quarters and gives him a pep talk, explaining that her father was also an alcoholic and that she also has addictive tendencies. Lockley also sends a message to Lise Hampton on Mars on behalf of Garibaldi, telling Lise that he needs her. Immediately, she arrives on the station and agrees to marry Garibaldi and give him control of Edgar's industries. Garibaldi agrees to this and sees it as an opportunity for a new beginning. Upon returning to Babylon 5, Jakar finds that the cult of personality that follows him has grown. He also learns that the Narn government is split between wanting him to come home or just disappear. Jakar decides that he is going to leave the station and explore the universe, and he offers Leeta the opportunity to go along with him. While talking to Sheridan, Delenn collapses to the deck. Upon examination, Dr. Franklin informs Sheridan that she is with child. Well, there it is.
There it is. Did you say while Delenn was talking with Sheridan?
I that's what you know.
Say yes. Just say yes.
Okay. That
of course.
Yes. Yes.
That's
I said that. Absolutely. It's in the script.
It's because it's true.
Talking is one mild way of putting it, I think. We'll get to that.
Character files opened.
In the meantime, what do we have by way of a guest cast? Kind of small on this episode, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's tiny. It's really tiny. So I will go really slow. No, I'm just kidding. So for Wheel of Fire, our guest cast is guest starring Monique Edwards as Officer. And that would be the officer that calls and narcs on Leeta. This is her only appearance on Babylon 5, and the only other genre appearance I could find was X-Files. Denise Gentile reprises her role as Lise Hampton Edgars, soon to be Lise Hampton Edgars Garibaldi, and this is her 8th of 9 appearances on Babylon 5. And uncredited as Wolfgang Schneider is in, and that would be the arms dealer that Leeta is talking to when everybody comes on the scene to arrest her. And that's our guest cast for tonight.
So pretty much Denise Gentile and a couple of walk-ins.
Yeah.
Well, with everything that's going on, frankly, we noted it last week. It's people starting to just kind of move out and move on, and lots of goodbyes. Except this episode doesn't start with a goodbye, it starts with hello.
Initiating plot analysis.
Jakar is met by Lockley.
Yeah. Heck of a hello. Jakar, he's just honored as heck to have Lockley actually meet him as he's coming back to the station from Centauri Prime.
Yeah, with the expectation that things have settled down a bit. Yep. Play it.
I should mention that there are a few of your people waiting to see you in customs.
Just a few?
Mm-hmm.
Good. My presence on Centauri Prime during this little war has probably cooled their enthusiasm a bit. I was afraid for a while that this cult of personality was getting out of hand. What matters is that you came to meet me.
Jakar, I wouldn't have missed this for the world. Meeting with the president, Mr. Garibaldi.
Captain.
See ya.
Jakar! 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 Jakar!
Okay, maybe not so settled.
Well, you look at that. I gotta go.
And you know what else we learned from this? The Narn definitely do not have any rhythm. It takes them three beats to get together, and then immediately there is an echo of Jakar, 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 Jakar. They can't stay together.
Well, that's because they're so busy waving the little Jakar statues and kneeling.
Yeah, but see, I always thought the Narn had musical talent because of the songs that Jakar sang in the past. Because I thought it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. They just can't do harmony or two-part anything or more, right?
Apparently not. They're all solos.
Yep.
Well, Jakar raises his hands like, guys, stop. Almost like I surrender, and they bow.
Yeah.
They kneel down. It's like, what?
And he just looks at his hands and goes, what the heck?
Did you see what was on the wall behind him?
The Jakar sign?
I missed that.
Nope. A picture of Jakar.
Oh.
Poor guy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that is probably going to be one of the few, and there's definitely another, humorous moments of the show, actually. Because we go straight to this meeting with the president that she warned. Nice little segue in. And Mike is late. Again.
And drunk.
And he falls apart trying to present his status report.
Well, he never even really got started. He just kind of waffled for a few seconds, and Sheridan said, okay, everybody out.
Yeah.
Mike, you stay here. I'll be right back. Uh-huh. I'm going to light you up.
The DeLynn Sheridan conversation was interesting. No words at all.
Yeah.
But definitely.
We know what she was doing. She was the calming influence. He was probably ready to rage. And well, we hear later he attributes maybe a more merciful attitude to her. But you see it in her whole demeanor when they're talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you suppose she said? What do you think she might have said?
Is this PG?
The exact words, I don't know, but she probably just got him to the point where he would have gotten himself eventually.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
After
my thoughts were that she might have told him that, you know, he's got enough problems already. And it's not going to help him at all if you go in there and flame him.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, alcohol's combustible.
And I'm sure she told him to remember Bester.
You know, what was that, JP?
I said alcohol is combustible.
Yeah.
he better not flame him. There won't be any Mike left.
Yeah.
Especially if it was afterburn.
Oh, my gosh. But you said, yeah, remember Bester.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
I said Bester.
No, I did.
Somebody said Bester.
Oh.
And with the fact that John was already suspicious, that he was suspecting, you kind of think he probably had shared with DeLynn some of his concerns or some of his questioning. So she probably reminded him of that as well.
Yeah.
Well, and in the dialogue or the almost the monologue that ensues after Sheridan goes back in, we learned that while there's disappointment with Mike, he's really disappointed with himself.
Yeah, and you know, I've had the times when I've messed up in life, like we all have, and I agree with Mike. The disappointed reaction really hits a whole lot harder than just being totally honked off.
Yeah.
I mean, at least if the person's mad at you, you can still hold up some walls, hold up some defense. There's nothing with disappointed. It just yanks the carpet out.
He said that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather you be mad at me.
Yep.
Yeah. Yell at me. Throw me out an airlock. Anything. Just don't be disappointed with me.
uh, t- typical type A.
He looked like a kid. He looked like a kid that disappointed his parents and was truly sad about it. It was
yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of a sad scene.
But John, he was fair.
Yeah, he was suspended on the one hand, but he hammers it home that, you know, he's got support. He's got his friends behind him.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike is off the clock for now. Jakar's problem,
is only beginning.
Mike's at least on the way to a solution. Jakar, watching Franklin trying to get past the crowd, what was amusing. And let's just say Jakar is not handling celebrity very well.
I can certainly understand his position. You know, what got all this started was his book of Jakar, his wisdom, mm-hmm. that he was writing down, and he does not want to be more important than the words.
Right.
Because it's the message that's important, not the person, as far as Jakar is concerned. And now we've got little statues of Jakar all over the place. Kind of leaning to the side and doing a half Narn salute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like you had said in the summary, half of his followers want him running Narn. The other half just wants to run it in his name and Jakar stay away. And he's feeling just a bit cornered here.
Yeah.
Which I can understand. He's at the point where he needs to find a way out of this. You know, Franklin, I like the way Franklin puts the dilemma in a puzzle form. Can God create a puzzle so complex that he can't solve it?
Mm.
Now, I would say the answer is no, but that's because God can do anything. This is just basic theology. God can do anything that is in his nature.
Hmm.
Well, that logical argument or philosophical argument is called the omnipotence paradox, and it's one of those
exactly
things that gets talked about in logic classes, frankly, as an example of a bad,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a flawed question, you know, something not exactly, but something akin to if somebody were to say, hey, Raul, have you stopped beating your wife yet?
Right.
What do you say? Yes? No. Wait. So it sets up a falsehood in the form of a question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
right.
But interesting at work that some version of that. Can God make a rock so big he can't lift it? Can he create a puzzle so complex he can't solve it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It worked its way in, but then Mike says that not to debate the question, but almost to take it as fact, and that, but he lobs that out there to make a point, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He says what? I think he says something like, what if we're that?
What if we're that puzzle?
That puzzle, yeah. And I still didn't quite get the point, but he made it. we're so complicated we can't.
It's the complexity of Jakar's dilemma, I think. The person getting lost in it, as you had said earlier, the person getting lost in the mess.
Yeah.
That's the complex puzzle.
Unsolvable, I guess, is what's implied. Sorry, mm-hmm. Jakar. You can't do anything about this.
Right. Well, we're going to find out just how true that is. Not just in this episode, but in the next couple as well, in fact.
Because it's not just about the religious cult of personality, right? There's another thing coming that we're going to see that involves elevating Jakar.
Mm-hmm.
And it baffles him.
And it's a growing problem, because we swing to Lockley mentioning that there are more shiploads of Narn coming in daily.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the station is rapidly becoming a Narn colony. From the sound of it. This, though, is interrupted by an emergency call from HQ. It seems that there have been attacks on Psycor. and we saw some of that, you know, being hinted at already. It's amateurs, but they are very well supplied, and they seem to be very well funded. And
they seem to be painting, remember Byron everywhere they go.
Right. And Lockley's like, well, this is an internal matter. Why are you calling me? And they're calling them because the trail leads right through Babylon 5.
Interesting choice of words. Mm-hmm. You know, she doesn't say through Babylon 5 when she's talking to Lockley. She says it runs directly through or right through your office.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly they meant Babylon 5, but one is you have a, you know, there's corruption in your city. The other one is you're complicit. And when she first said that, this trail runs through your office. It was like, ah, what are you? So Lockley's being accused. It doesn't seem to play out that way in the story.
Yeah.
But it was an interesting choice of words.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I did not quite catch it, that. So interesting point. At the end of.
Yeah. At any rate.
Yeah.
At any rate, the money is coming through Babylon 5, and we all know who that points to.
Right. Lockley's been instructed to, guess what? Arrest Lita.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Detain her for questioning, arrest her if necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And we know it's going to be necessary, because she's gone. She's almost gone rogue herself. I mean, I would have to say
you get the impression she's gone rogue. She's definitely been, we've been seeing a very, very mercenary side. A half million credits from Veer.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Kind of chuckled off at that moment, but now it's not funny now.
Right.
Hey, gutsy move, Lita. Half a million. Okay. Ooh, you got it. That's nice.
A real cool person would have done it for a task for Veer for nothing. Because he's Veer.
Puppy dog eyes.
Can't be mean to Flounder.
Yeah. I've never seen that movie. Okay, well, anyway, moving right along.
Well, Lockley's not done. She's got other stuff before she arrests Lita to do. She pays Mike a visit.
Yeah.
Not to gloat, actually, because they've not had the best of connections. Mike is sitting there doing a real good job feeling sorry for himself, and...
Mm.
She points out that, hey, she understands Mike doesn't take that too well, and Lockley explains why she understands, and I'll let her do it in her words.
This must be a really great day for you, Captain. You got what you wanted. I'm history.
Well, the president told me you were suspended, not fired.
Same difference. We both know I'm not getting my job back anytime soon, not after all this.
Well, if that's what you've decided, then that's what's going to happen. But you do have the option to choose otherwise.
Thanks for the fortune cookie wisdom. Anything else?
No, not really. Just thought I'd come by, offer any help I can, and tell you that I understand.
You understand. And you want to help. You. Even after we've locked horns from day one?
That's right.
What makes you think that you understand? What makes you think you know what I'm going through, Captain, huh? Please tell me, because I could use a good laugh.
All right. You're angry.
Bravo, Miss Holmes. A masterpiece of investigative work. Please, go on.
Because you feel like you're alone. You need that anger to push away anybody whose compassion might contradict you. Because you feel like you're not in control anymore. Hey, you may as well go even further out of control. And because you can't hurt the people who hurt you, like Bester, you've got to lash out at everybody else. See, the drinking gives a control freak like you permission to let it go. To be angry, to lash out, to lose it.
Did you get that out of a book? Was it a psychology text or was one of those pop-up books?
Mr. Garibaldi, my father was an alcoholic.
I am not.
When he was drunk, he used to lash out at us, just like you're lashing out at me right now. He wasn't mad at us. He was mad at himself. at what he was, at the walls that were closing in around him. And because he was career military, he thought he had to keep it buttoned up. Shirts pressed, chin up, yes sir, no sir, nothing in between. Doesn't matter what you feel, you keep it down. See, the alcohol gave him permission to let go.
So she's explaining to him, you know, she understands. He's not buying it. You know, it's like, yeah, sure.
Right.
And then he almost came uncorked when she said, my dad was an alcoholic, and he just about lost it.
Well, there is a spot where at one point in the conversation, he does loses it. I'm assuming he missed her head on purpose with the glass. That he threw in the direction and storms out. We find out it's not just her dad that is the source of her understanding. She's got a clincher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here's the rest of the story.
You know, in all the time that you've been here, I've never even seen you take a drink.
No, you haven't. Because I've got the same exact damn problem you've got.
I didn't.
No, of course you didn't. See, children of alcoholics usually end up one of two ways. Either they try to help everybody else because they couldn't help themselves, or they become alcoholics. I couldn't stop what was happening to my father, so I became the very thing I hated. If it could be swallowed, shot, or smoked, oh, I did it. Until somebody very close to me died. Then I realized what I was doing. After that, I tried to get better. And it hasn't been easy. Every day is a struggle. So if you think I don't know what you're feeling, mister, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. Maybe that's why we didn't get along from day one. Maybe we recognize too much of ourselves in the other person. I couldn't help my father. And I couldn't help myself at the time, but maybe I can help you, the only way I know how. By telling you all that, and at least you know you're not alone. Everything else, it's up to you.
Yep, she's the clincher for the argument.
Yeah.
And she turns into what appears to be potentially a very good friend.
Mm-hmm. You know, we've all said at some point over the season, course of the season, what she has said herself here, now, that in a lot of ways, part of the problem was they were too much alike.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, she's gone from having to help someone to something much less pleasant. You know, actually, you know, in some ways, this is almost a Lockley episode, at least a big part of it is, because she's sort of the thread, she's sort of the glue that holds the pieces together.
Yeah, that's true.
In this case, things are about to become unglued because she's on her way to arrest Lita. I don't think that is going to go nearly as smooth as her conversation with Mike, if you call that smooth.
Yeah. It won't go quite as smooth. They're looking for, as a matter of fact, as Lockley and Zach go to the Zocalo to grab her, they're looking for Sheridan. He's supposed to be there too, but he's nowhere to be seen.
I am wondering how much of an accident that is. Lita, let's just say, is a little bit cranky about the whole situation.
Well, I don't know about cranky. She seems more cool about things.
Yeah.
Deliberate. Purposeful.
Yeah. And she just looks at him with a smart-ass grin of hers, you know, and she says, I choose not to be arrested.
And pretty much the whole Zocalo seems to agree with her. Which is both creepy and downright terrifying at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that whole Zocalo includes Zach and all the security guys. They're they're standing there like zombies.
And we've already seen
Zach standing there looking like his character from Grease.
Mm-hmm. Mickey.
Just this dull look on his face.
And we've already seen what she can do as far as controlling one person. Looks, you know, a couple episodes ago on the Drazi homeworld. So now we're going to see, you know, now we're seeing that power has expanded somewhat.
That's an old Jedi mind trick.
Yeah. Well, I will say this.
These aren't the telepaths you're looking for.
Sheridan has a way with words.
Yeah.
Actually, I think this is one of my favorite lines of his from the whole darn series. Right next to dead, been there, done that. Or I was dead, but I'm better now. Go ahead and play this clip. Let's get some perspective.
I do not choose to be arrested. I've done a lot for this place. And just once, I think a little gratitude would be in order, don't you?
Leda, don't force us to
do what? Zach. You cannot harm me. You cannot stop someone who's been touched by Vorlons.
You're not the only one that's been touched by the Vorlons. Let them go. Let them go or I'll blow the back of your skull off.
Can't be everywhere, Mr. President.
Good point. Oh!
Get her out of here and put her in level one lockup.
I hate myself for saying this, but maybe you should have pulled the trigger while you could. We may not get another chance.
Luckily has a way with words, too.
Yeah, and the way Lita's behaving, I don't blame her a bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorite Lockley moments when she decks her.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, dang, she's serious. We're not playing games now.
I think Sheridan just held himself in reserve just because he's seen enough of Leda that he's, you know, we know he's a little suspicious of what she can do, so.
Yeah, it's a good thing she was focused on controlling everybody else in the room.
I have a feeling she couldn't even sense him.
Well, she was busy.
You know, I remember at the time there was a lot of theorizing going on. Was this one of the reasons why when Sheridan was captured, this was on Usenet, when Sheridan was captured that they had to go to old fashioned torture methods rather than. We've seen what Psycops can do as far as adjustments, but
yeah, they couldn't touch him though. They couldn't, not in this mm-hmm. Psycops sense or the teep sense.
I never bought into that theory because we've seen too much other evidence that what they did to Sheridan was how they operated, but I know it had come up.
You were saying Sheridan showed reserve here. I think that tracks well back to we were talking about what Delenn said to Sheridan because of there's no audio, right? You just see the conversation. And one of you guys said, maybe she said, remember Bester.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sheridan softens, if that's what was said. But can you imagine that still running in his head?
Mm.
Now he's looking at Leda with a gun to her head. And he's thinking, remember Bester.
Yeah.
And so he holds back. You know, we don't know what the conversation really was, but that thought works well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does.
Well, word about Leda apparently got out because Mike's got his concerns. And he dashes off to find Lockley, both about those concerns and to thank her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice what he was wearing?
Hmm.
Did you notice what Mike was wearing?
What was Mike wearing?
His uniform. And when I say uniform, I mean his brown suit that he wears formally, including with the little lapel pins and
the old Earth Force uniform.
I thought that was odd. He's suspended. No, in his current job, he wears that brown suit with the two lapel pins, like Sheridan has dual lapel pins. That I'm not sure I've ever figured out what's on them. And Mike has the same thing, and you know, I assume that represents his office. Well, he's walking around.
Or it's just decorative?
Maybe, I don't know. When he showed up wearing that, it surprised me. I thought, why is he wearing his uniform? It's a suit, but...
Yeah.
He looks like he does when he's working in an official capacity, not a guy that's just been relieved of his duties.
Yeah.
But
anyway, the captain still isn't done making her point with Mike.
Yeah.
Lisa is there. She got a message.
She got
a message from, air quotes, Michael. And, good captain. She just gives the little grin and strolls away.
Yeah. Yeah. And now Mike is all better.
No, not quite. And in fact, we're going to find out, now this is the problem with chain watching these episodes. It also becomes hard to try to remember what happened in which episode. I think is it the next episode where he is sort of detoxing? Or was it? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's not this episode.
Well.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry. We didn't mean to ruin a 25-year-old series for you, guys. Lita is in distant isolation. Not just isolation, but as far away from anyone as possible.
Yeah, without being put out in airlock.
Yeah, then don't think that probably hadn't been discussed. Franklin is having a conversation with Sheridan about her. And he points out one of the things that I thought when Lita first said, no, and basically, I'm not going to be arrested. And that is, you know, in a way, she does have a bit of a point. She was not part of the command staff. There were some spots, and we've talked about this before, where they kind of took a little advantage of her, but nothing even close to being something that can be used as a justification for what she's done. Franklin's summary, though, if you've got that, let's play it, because it also brings us into something else that'll be a bit of a, what? Did I hear that? Moment.
I just don't understand it, Stephen. What could make her turn like this?
Well, let's say she was adjusted by the Vorlons, dumped by the Vorlons, used as a weapon, quit the Corps, lost the only man she ever loved, and dedicated herself to finishing his work. Pick one or all of the above, and let's face it, she's pissed.
Massively. No, there's something more going on here. Something that pushed her over the edge. First Londo, then Garibaldi, and now this. I tell you, the next person who acts irrationally, I swear I'm going to shoot myself in the head.
Bastards!
Did she just?
She did.
I'll get the gun.
Delenn, are you?
Bastards!
Yeah, we got that part.
The non-government says they're going to boycott all our ships until Jakar comes home.
Well, that's not our choice. He doesn't want to go home.
They say he's staying here out of a sense of obligation. And that if we tell him to go home, he will.
They're insane.
I know. And I just, I don't think I can, I...
Delenn?
Franklin to MedLab 1. We need a trauma team. Sheridan's off the stat.
And there goes our PG rating.
Because she said frog legs or doctor or something.
Yeah.
I think that is the only piece in 5 years that Delenn swore, right? Now, I know if you watch some of the Bad Five outtakes on the DVDs, you'll see a few, a little bit of colorful language slip out of her mouth on some of the bloopers, but that's Mira Furlan, not Delenn. But
no, I'll give you that one. I don't recall. The closest that she ever came to was talking about butts.
Or as our producer just notified us, abso-fraggin-lutely.
Yeah.
But uh-oh, she's passed out. Good thing Franklin's there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they're going to leave us hanging on that while Mike is coming clean with Lise.
Right. We switch over to Mike, who is, for the moment, not passed out.
Yeah, he's actually unpleasantly sober at the moment and pretty much doing a full come clean. And it's not just his friends refusing to give up on him. She's not going to give up on him either. In fact, she's proposing to him.
Yeah.
So a double Michael awe moment.
Yeah. And he's not even asking for the special coffee this time.
No. But he does have a epiphany of sorts.
Yeah. He's going to be a tycoon.
Except his response to that is dashing out of the room.
Yeah.
So, Dalyn, her problem. Prager's.
I like how that's broken to Sheridan.
Yes.
Yeah, and he just kind of looks and says,
I thought you said that wasn't possible.
No, no, no. We didn't know. Well, guess what?
We know now. Yes. There's going to be another little Sheridan running around.
Well,
spoiler alert, his name is going to be David.
Yeah. For those who haven't watched season 3.
Yeah.
And let's not forget it was foreshadowed in season 2 as well. Can you explain these cramps I'm having to Susan?
Uh-huh.
And did you notice she doesn't know what's going on because she kind of looks at the window and you see her mouth. What happened?
What happened?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, is she in for a surprise?
Well, I think she was there when it happened.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not what you mean.
Ah.
No, there goes our PG-13 rating.
Again.
Mike's idea. Mike's idea. It involves Lita.
Yeah.
And he wants...
Not a bad idea, by the way, as we watch this. On
though we don't learn too much about it yet. He wants to talk to her in private, and she's quite happy to arrange that.
Yeah.
So we get a little tiny bit of boom.
Was it really boom, or was it more of a clunk?
It's a
I don't know.
It's a significant day if you're a camera.
Yeah, it went bang all right.
Well, the short of it is Lita and Mike have a common problem. Bester. Most of her difficulties in a lot of ways, I mean, she's her anger is misplaced in some ways. It's really aimed more at Bester in the core than the Bab 5 command staff, and certainly Zach. The same way that's at the root of a lot of Mike's problems. So Lita and Mike are cutting a deal. He's willing to take out Bester, she'll get rid of the blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And she sort of has a counter offer. She wants a little more than that. And Mike pitches this deal to Lockley.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we wouldn't be in this situation if Jakar hadn't given Lita a hell of a lot of money in exchange for her giving the Narns telepath DNA.
Well, that's still only a rumor, Michael. And even if it's true, Narn internal affairs are strictly off limits to the Alliance.
Oh, it's true, all right. Look, all the transactions have been placed in a secret account, and only she has the access code. Now, she's agreed to transfer the money into a secret fund that's going to be used exclusively to help telepaths. And we're blowing stuff up. Ledgers will be kept, accounts will be balanced, and the books will be made available for review by anybody who wants to see them anytime.
Now, who's going to supervise this trust fund?
She's given me authority to pick someone. Now, Captain, I give you my word, every penny in that fund will be accounted for.
All right, assuming this is true, I still don't have the authority to let her go.
Well, you'll have it by the end of the day, because there's a certain senator who receives a fairly large campaign contribution every year from Edgar's Industries who is going to intercede on her behalf.
Okay, when she's out of the brig, then what? I can't just let her wander around Babylon 5 in her current state. She is extremely powerful, very dangerous, and for my money, unstable.
I just happened to catch the last part of your discussion, and I believe we have a common solution to our respective problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jakar has an idea, too. He's going to leave with Lita.
Yeah.
Yeah. Provides help to her, support, whatever, and it solves his little problem, and it solves the station's problem mm-hmm. with the Narn, meaning the volume of Narn.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So Sheridan and Delenn are leaving. Mike is leaving, though everyone else doesn't know that yet. Franklin is leaving. Londo has left. Lita and Jakar are leaving. Everyone's leaving.
They're leaving on that midnight train to Georgia. Oh, I'm sorry. Couldn't resist.
Well, Mike did tell her the complete truth. No, Mike told her the truth. Let's rephrase that. He didn't tell her the complete truth. Everything in that account is going to be meticulously checked and kept up on.
Mm-hmm.
And whose line was?
It's only the tip of the iceberg. Yeah.
Who was it that whose line was, and now for the rest of the story?
Paul Harvey.
Paul Harvey.
No, it's yep. Paul Harvey.
Let's have our Paul Harvey moment.
Oh, yeah. I made a good deal.
I have a counter proposal for you. I've done everything I could, Michael. I raised money to help fight the Psi-Corp, but the way they tracked it back to me shows I don't have the background and know how to use it. You do. With Edgar's Industries, you've got resources, contacts, and a way to move large amounts of money without attracting attention. So here's my deal. We'll set up two accounts. The first one's for show. The second one is the real account, the big one. Use that money to hurt the Psi-Corps and help my people. You can't hurt Bester directly because of the neural block, but you can help me bring down everything he cares about. You can help me destroy the Psi-Corps and free my people.
Well, why not just remove the neural block?
Because it's a great motivator. You won't rest until it's gone, and I'm the only hope you've got of ever getting rid of it. I'll check back with you after 2 years. If you've done as I ask, if you've created a force I can use against the Corps, I'll take out that neural block. Then you can deal with Bester. I'll deal with the Corps. We both get what we want.
Aren't you taking an awful chance? I could just grab the money and run.
I don't believe you'd do that. If I thought otherwise, I'd kill you where you stand.
No, I don't think Mike would take the money and run either.
Uh-huh. Oh, he's got a purpose now.
Yep. And you didn't catch the rest of their conversation, but in getting to the rest of the story, we also know Lita's rest of the story. They talk mm-hmm. about how you build weapons for a war. The little ones, you know, the rifles that the soldiers use, some bigger bombs. And then you've got your strategic nukes.
Yeah, the Moab, the mm-hmm. mother of all bombs.
Yep. And in this case, you know how they paint the name, you know, paint the name on the bomb. Well, in this case, that bomb yeah. would have the name Lita painted on it. they made her into their doomsday weapon.
Right.
Sort of a creepy
Well,
scene.
She's, you know, and now she's realized this and she's just become not a very nice person to have around.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for her to go.
She's kind of made herself not a very nice person to have around.
Yeah.
And I think she's going to in some way realize it a bit next episode, but
yeah,
we'll save that for that conversation then. And this takes us into the wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
We have John annoying DeLynn in a very good way. What?
Yeah.
On the slanty yeah. bed.
On the slanty bed.
He's the giddy new dad, right? He's all excited.
I'm just sitting here. You're saying that has me. How in the heck did she get pregnant with that bed?
Maybe it was in the other apartment.
Well, there goes our NC-17 rating.
Now we're up to NC-19 or 20.
No, we're up to an R now.
Oh, gosh. But he's annoying her in a good way. Just the gaga eyes all over her.
Well, he's a proud dad, right? Oh,
yeah,
my God.
I did this.
And
well, he's not only a proud dad going to be, but there's also some concern there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, because we don't know if she can actually
carry the term.
Yeah. So we got some worry there too.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what she's focused on.
No. She's worrying about Londo.
Mm-hmm. And Sheridan says, oh, he's probably still celebrating, partying all night, every night, and all. Yeah, he's sitting in the middle of Centauri Prime with everything burning around him, partying, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, I highly doubt that.
Well,
this takes us back to the opening scene of the episode where Jakar and Lockley are talking, and she says to him, Emperor Mallari may have a better chance at happiness than Ambassador Mallari.
Yeah, oh.
And saying it positively, not... Mm-hmm. Not. And Jakar says, I'm not sure, I don't think so, or something. But so we right. opened with a positive statement, a hopeful statement about Mallari as the Emperor. And we're ending with the same thing. Oh, you know, you must be having a good time. Yeah.
And you know that final scene that you were questioning, Jim? We have that scene again this time.
Yeah. Where is everyone? Where is everyone with Londo sitting there by himself? Where are the aides, all the ministers, and the servants, and... You know,
not
all those people
room,
you...
That's for sure.
Nope.
Yeah.
With
put him outside.
Yeah, he becomes... Well, we do find he becomes obviously very much of a recluse. But yeah. that second time in a row, ending with Londo looking miserable on the throne.
Yeah, sitting there saying, wow, I was stunning in purple. I wish I were wearing purple again.
Probably.
Does this explain a little bit of the inaccessibility of the regent?
Most
watching
likely.
Londo maybe do just what the regent was doing. Why? You can't keep me from the regent. Well, the regent might have closed himself off.
To protect people.
Yes, and now we sadly see Londo sitting alone on the throne, placing himself in isolation to protect his people. Back to the prophecy, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Could very well be.
Yep. But that scene provides the continuity between the two. And from there, we fade to black.
Mm-hmm.
So I know our conversation this time wasn't as long as last episode, but it was every bit as intense.
Yeah. There's a lot of transitionary stuff happening in this episode.
We're building to something.
Yes, we are. Yes,
season
we are.
Six.
That's and we're building towards. Yeah, we're building towards the next episode, which is Objects in Motion.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, people begin their preparations to leave Babylon 5. Jakar and Leda Alexander to explore the stars. Garibaldi and Lise to take over Edgar's industry on Mars. But before that happens, Number One comes aboard. Bringing it with
that,
her.
That's a spoiler,
one
Jim.
Last twist of fate.
Hey, that is an absolute spoiler.
I enjoyed it.
Yes. So even though we've got everyone leaving, we've got some good people coming in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's another important piece about this. Our episode next time, written not just by Straczynski, but by Harlan Ellison as well.
Mm.
So there'll be some grand curmudgeonness input, direct input into this. But that's what he's known as.
It must be true. I heard it on a podcast.
But anyway, final thoughts, gentlemen.
Nope.
No, other than we're just building up to, the end here, some kind of an ending, and there's going to be definitely, as the title suggests, next time, we're going to have a lot of motion.
That is very, very true. And just for reference, the episode after that is Objects at Rest.
Right. And
so we're going to get another contrasted pair.
Yeah. But we get some objects in motion and we get some objects of emotion too. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And it is sad. I mean, think about it. After this, for us, there are 3 episodes left. For the shooting cast, there are only 2 episodes left.
Right.
Because remember, Sleeping in the Light was shot near at the end of season 4, in case they didn't get renewed.
Sleeping in Light.
I've been getting that title wrong for 25 years.
Yep. Well, we can't do that now.
No, we can. He just did it.
Oh. Well, on that happy note, I am going to ask the grand question. Did we have boom today?
I think we had a little bitty boom.
Right.
Snap, crackle,
camera
pop.
Boom.
Yeah, when she blew the camera up.
We go back long enough that I'll go ahead and give you that one, but just for the record, it's
Thank
begrudgingly.
You. I earned it.
It's boom with a little B.
Boom with a little B. Yes.
Yeah,
no caps.
Yes, with a small
and a
B.
Period, not an exclamation point.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure we're going to have some boom tomorrow.
Oh. I think there's always boom tomorrow.
Is there?
Always.
Sure. Why not?
Okay. Well, in that case, good night, everybody. Boom.
So long. Hey, say good night, JP.
Good night, JP.
Boom. Boom, boom.
Boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. Boom.
Podcast terminated.
Thank you for listening to the Babylon Project podcast. You can email Raul and Jim at thebabylonprojectpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at the Babylon Project Podcast. On the internet, we are at babylonprojectpodcast.wordpress.com. To subscribe to the podcast, you can find us on iTunes, or you can subscribe to the RSS feed on the webpage.